Years ago, driving down into Dallas, Texas, going to meet a friend of mine and his wife and family, and he wants to take me out about 11:30 at night just to drive around the city and talk. As we're driving over an expressway bridge, there's a woman on the other side of the rails. Her arms are behind her. She's barely hanging on to the rail. All she had to do was let go, and she would have went straight down into the oncoming traffic there on the expressway. So my friend pulls over where we quietly run up to the woman on the other side of the rail, and we grab hold of her, and she begins to fight us, wanting to jump. Her shoes are on the side we are on, and we literally had to drag her back over under our side and sit her down. Her mascara, her makeup, I mean, she'd been crying, she's slobbering, she's been drinking, she's sitting there, she's looking at us, she's saying, let me jump, let me jump, let me jump. And bottom line, we get down to what the issue is, what's the pain, what's the problem. Down to the local bar, her boyfriend dumps her. And so she's thrown in and thrust into some depression. I mean, that's kind of, is that the way out? How about the little cheerleader? I had to do the funeral for the cheerleader. Another young boy had shot himself in the head, and he was dead, and all the kids were depressed for 2 or 3 weeks around the school. They called us in to counsel some of the kids. And then I got the call that the one little cheerleader had gone outside in the back. They called it impulse suicide, but she was dejected. She was depressed. She was distraught, and she put a rope around her neck and jumped off the picnic table behind her family's house. She was found with her fingers into the rope, trying to get it off, trying to change her mind after she jumped. Too late. I had to counsel so many young people. We had to intervene with so many other young people. We had to pray. We had to pray because sometimes it's more than just the life circumstances when it comes down to depression. There is a dark side more than ever, bringing impulses and bringing the suggestions. And is there such a thing as a spirit that functions towards or brings the oppression or depression and even suggests suicide? Well, I agree there is. And this week on the Ragged Edge radio broadcast, we're going to talk about depression and oppression, when it is warfare and when it is not, and some of the help, some of the incredible, brilliant hope that God gives us in Christ. Let me read you a verse, Proverbs 23. There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Let me read you another verse. This is again Jeremiah 29:11. There are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. I have plans to give you a future filled with hope. Jeremiah 29:11. You got to know that God has some hope today. God loves you. God knows you. God desires you. And let me tell you this very clearly today. God is the God of hope, and He can give you the hope. And I want you to hear me clearly today. All the way around the world, we want to welcome you by satellite, by internet live stream, by the archives, by CB Channel 19. Welcome to all the truckers listening out there. Blessings to you. And may, as Romans, you ever read Romans 15:13? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, that you might overflow with hope, that you'll abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. There is a supernatural sense of incredible hope that comes in Christ, by Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit for those who know. We're going to be glad to tell you about that this week on the Ragged Edge radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. This is, the backdrop to all of it, shatterthedarkness.net on the website. I'm going to read you just a simple, quick definition, a noun, depression, quote, severe despondency and dejection, typically felt over a period of time and accompanied by feelings of hopelessness and inadequacy. But now, coming from the Mayo Clinic, listen to this. Depression is a mood disorder that causes, It's already suggesting this is out of your hand. It is a mood disorder. And that ultimately it's going to be drugs. We're going to push you away from the drugs. We're going to push you to the God of heaven and the hope and the power, the supernatural power that he has. And a way to respond in life, let me read the Mayo Clinic definition. Depression, quote, depression is a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness and loss of interest. Also called major depression, major depressive disorder, or clinical depression. It affects how you feel, think, and behave, and can lead to a variety of emotional and physical problems. You may have trouble doing normal day-to-day activities, and depression may make you feel as if life isn't worth living. I'm still going on with the quote. More than just a bout of the blues, depression isn't a weakness, nor is it something that you can simply snap out of. Depression may require long-term treatment. Stop. Listen carefully to what the Mayo Clinic is going to say. Quote, but don't get discouraged. Most people with depression feel better with medication, psychological counseling, or both. Other treatments may also help. We're going to push you away from the things that don't help you and steer you into the hands of the God of hope with a supernatural power by the Spirit of God to help you today. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God will bring that incredible hope in Christ by the Spirit of God to you. And we ask God by His incredible work, by the authority of Christ, to destroy the demonic side in Jesus' name. Because not all depression is depression of life circumstances. It is oppression coming from the dark side. You ever seem to have depression that doesn't go away? You don't know what it's about. You don't know why it's here. Nothing else, and you're a believer in Christ. Well, oppression can bring about the same sense of feeling, and it may be coming directly from a dark supernatural source, that is, the dark side. I was called to the hospital. The man was in a coma. He'd taken a bunch of pills. His wife had left him. He'd lost his home, and he'd been pretty much an arrogant and angry man. And there he was in the coma with tubes in his nose and just all. And the doctor comes by and looks at me and says, he will either continue to go out and die, or he may come out of it and he may live. That was my father years ago. In the midst of his depression and losing his wife and losing his home and losing so much, he had no hope within him, no hand of God. He was arrogant. He was just arrogant concerning God. Now, when I came to Christ, I loved my father, and I went after my father again and again and again. But his arrogance against God in the midst of cognitive reality, this fallen world, this life that brings us pain, the sin that we do, that we reap what we sow, and we also reap what others sow at times all around us, let alone the fact that Satan, he's here to kill, steal, and destroy. So again, the hero of humanity, Christ, I preached Christ. I brought Christ to him. I went to see my dad again and again and again in hospitals and psych wards and where he lived and when he moved to California. 23 years later, should I tell you now or at the end of the broadcast? A man that lost years and years and years of his life in the midst of cognitive depression, trying out shock treatment and pills and medications and support groups and alcohol and all kinds of other things. I watched as my own father, his life ebbing away, always wanting to tell him of the incredible love and joy and peace that is in Christ, and his unwillingness to hear. His willingness to blame everybody else, not willing to deal with his own sin and his own causes. Hey, my friends, we live in a fallen, broken world, and that's why we call this broadcast of The Ragged Edge. But in the midst of that is a brilliant hope, an everlasting hope, and even now a supernatural empowerment that can be in our lives. A wisdom that can come from God about how to deal with well, the things of this fallen world. Glad you're here. Rust is Dar, shatterthedarkness.net. And keep us in your prayers. And this is the only commercial we'll try to give you today. Remember us and support. I've got about 35 letters going to try to go out. Well, we're going to try to do it before the conference, but we're going to do it when we come back. So those who have helped us in the last couple of months, some great thank you letters, and I wanted to say thank you. If you're interested, Shadow of the Darkness, look at the little support tab and just read and pray for us. And also, if you don't have internet, many just listen by satellite alone. P.O. Box 755, Uniontown, Ohio, 44685. No other commercials, no sales, no businesses. Don't want to take any more time than just that. Three major points tonight. Number one, defining depression. Number two, the causes of depression. Number three, we're going to be engaging the issue of depression. Now, tomorrow night, Tuesday night, join us again because this is part one. We only got, 45 minutes here now. And part two deals with the oppression issue. And I believe many believers in Christ worldwide, you don't have depression, you have oppression. There is a difference, and there's a different way to clear the air when it comes to both. Let's do some definitions again because we gave you the one just out of the dictionary, severe despondency and dejection. You could hear people say on the street how they feel like, I feel like dirt. I feel like, all the different ways in which people describe. You know how many times in the past, before coming to Christ, we're in bars, a lot of depressed people in the bars, a lot of depressed people on the dance floors, a lot of individuals getting up the next day depressed, a lot of people listening, depressed and hopeless, and the feelings that come with that. So defining it, it's more than what the Mayo Clinic says as a depression is a mood disorder that causes a persistent feeling of sadness, of loss and loss of interest and, so many other things with that. I mean, it is that, it's a feeling, a depression, it involves the mind and what we're thinking and what's going on in our head and what's rotating there, things we don't want to think about. And so when you think on the bad things, you think on the bad job, the bad economics, the bad relationships, the world you live in, well, that thinking and that mindset affects your emotions. And then all of a sudden you're feeling what you think. You do know that, don't you? Feelings flow from thought. And what's on your mind, what's rotating in your head again and again and again and again. That's why sometimes we just want to get it out of our heads. We want to just kind of bury it. We want to take our issues of life, the cognitive issues of life, and just bury them like a beach ball underwater. Now, I'm saying that most all depression, I was reading Dr. Archibald Hart from, I think, the Fuller Theological, or I think it's the School of Psychology there in California, talking about 87% of all depression is cognitive. I would say that's more than that, but let's just say 90% of all depression is cognitive. What does that mean? Life circumstance, the things in life. The relationships, the economics, the job, where you are, your health, so many other things, then when in our mind we just rotate things, think negatively, hate the situations we're in over and over and over and over again, guess what? Your emotions begin to feel what you think. And so if you are feeling bad, feeling depressed, feeling down, feeling angry, because that's what's been rotating in your head. And guess what? Your thinking that affects emotion, those coupled together, begin to affect the body. So if you're depressed because of the things you're facing in life and your responses to hate it, be angry, feeling, mentally saying there's no hope, well, then your emotions are going to, it's going to bleed there into your emotions. You're going to feel that way. Well, the mind and the emotions will affect the body. The body will begin, you're going to feel it in your body, slowing down, wanting to sleep, so many other things, your body, the passivity that comes, the sense of the weight of the world inside you and on you. Your body begins to be I mean, looking depressed. I mean, just looking it in the countenance of the face and in the physical activities, and you don't want to do a lot. Well, guess what? The mind, the emotion, and the body that is in that kind of depression, and sometimes, we'll talk about it tomorrow night, spiritual oppression, does affect your chemical system. It's called, the word is catabolic. That when your mind is packed with the difficulties of life and history and everything else, and your response to it all is angry and mad and down and no hope and all the rest, and then your emotions are feeling it, and your body is put, you know, degrading, you know, crumbling in a sense. Well, then the chemistry of your internal system begins to collapse. That's why some will say that depression is all about a chemical issue. But does the chemical issue cause the depression, or does the depression cause the chemical issue? Well, I think years ago a book called How to Win Over Depression by LaHaye. Now, he went over all of this, and I agree that I believe it's the depression, life, cognitive issues, the wrong responses over and over again, our emotions packed with all the negativity and feeling, our bodies impacted, pushed more into passivity. Pretty soon the chemical system is catabolic, and it affects us completely. Let me tell you this, that depression like that and believing the hopelessness and even lies can even open the door to spiritual attack. So defining it, it involves the mind, the emotions, the body, the chemistry, and your spirit. Well, we can talk about it as being, I don't feel good, I'm down, I don't have any hope. I mean, you describe yourself. If you're depressed a lot, and I've got responses. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you some of the responses quickly off of the Facebook page. We've got so many friends there, and for us, it's working very well for prayer and everything else. But we put up the story last night about the weekly series, and we have the little picture of the depressed-looking man with the the cloud over him, and his arms are hanging down to his feet, and he's hunched over, and his eyes are sagging, and a grimace on his face. And so if you look at the Facebook page, it's not a very kind or good-looking little picture, but it's supposed to represent depression. And I think it also represents spiritual oppression, and many don't know the difference or when they're combined. Now, here's what some folks have written. Now, I'm not going to tell their names, of course, but they've already put it up publicly. But I'm just going to report to you what some have already thrown up as comments. Quote, "This is terrible, but to know my feelings of depression were maybe a spiritual attack actually makes me feel a little better." Someone else writes, "Great topic, so much of what we experience that seems to be of the natural world is in actuality a battle going on in the spiritual realm." Another friend writes, "Many thanks for covering this topic. This is going to speak to a lot of us." Another individual writes, "Oppressed every day at my job site. And in this world in general, this leading to depression over a 50-year period." Well, you are the one I'm talking to today, because I really believe God does not want you to be living for years and years, or months and months, or weeks and weeks in depression. There is a way out. I'm telling you that frankly. There is a supernatural, and it comes from the hand of God, the infinite God, the kindness of the living Savior. And this is where a victory has been won for us. And it involves the mind. It involves the emotion. It involves the will and what we're going to respond with. It involves our chemical system, because I believe knowing Christ and stepping into obedience and having the power of the Spirit of God not only brings joy and some victory and life, it affects us in our body, it affects us in our emotion, and the chemical system can be very good. Anabolic can be uplifting. I'll give you a verse on that this week out of the book of Romans. When against all hope, Abraham in hope believed God. You know what it says there? It says, if you read it in chapter 4, that he was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now, the word strengthened means that literally his entire being, physically, his body, everything, all of a sudden he's strengthened because of his faith in Christ, his faith in the truth, his faith in what God's going to do. Do you know how many promises? Do you know any examples of God stepping in? Do you know the brilliant instruction God gives so that we don't have to repeat what the world does? See, the world, when it comes to cognitive life circumstances and the things that happen to us. I mean, take a chill pill, take four more, go out and get drunk. How about just eat a bunch of food? Stay in at night. Don't go anywhere. Don't exercise. Get mad at everybody. Just keep thinking about it and just sleep and sleep and sleep. That will only deepen the issue and deepen the problem and open, I think, even deeper doors for the enemy to... Because, you know, the enemy is like, when the enemy sees pain and suffering and depression, what does the enemy do? What does Satan do? What do the demons do? Well, they come to make it even worse. Jesus said that this thief, Satan, and that whole dark side, comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come to give life. That Greek word, zoe, the qualitative life that comes out of heaven. I've come to give life and life more abundantly. That's the answer God in Christ gives. I've come to give this life that comes out of heaven, out of him directly, and abundantly so. Another person writes, just my subject, Russ. I suffer from atypical bipolarism. I'll be listening. Prayers for God's extraordinary strength and the hope that I'm talking about. Romans 15:13 to you. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Why? So that then the result, or for the purpose of, that's a hina clause in the Greek, that you might overflow, that you might abound, superabound with this hope, biblical hope, a divine optimism, an assured hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may God reach out his hand to strengthen some. Some need just a deliverance from the dark side's oppression, let alone his crashing in the midst of your life. I mean, you may have some very big things going on in your life. You may have some very bad things that have gone on in your life. And I tell you this, as a believer, the enemy loves to come in and say, see how God did this to you? See what God... Look at Job and how... And we'll talk detail-wise tomorrow. But the oppression and destruction and things and cognitive things and life circumstances caused by the devil, caused by a dark side, it's really here. And look what he goes through. Look what he goes through when he doesn't even know what it is. See, he doesn't know that it's spiritual warfare to the end. To him, it's all life circumstances, and not even his three buddies that show up can help him figure out what it is. Nobody can pin it down. That's one of the keys to know the difference between just depression and then what the enemy causes and brings about oppression into your life. When you're trying to figure it out... The enemy always has this thing about trying to get you to get angry at God. Hit you up, make you depressed, oppressed, mad, whatever else, and keep speaking those lies. God's not here. He's not helping you. Look at your God. All the rest, that's the approach in spiritual warfare. And there's a mixture. Bad circumstances in life can be the very thing that the enemy either caused, he can cause them, and then try to use to bring down the believer. To get you thinking the way he tried to get Job. To get mad at, literally to get mad at God. You know, Satan loves to hit you up and blame it on God. The world does hit you up, and your own sins hit you up. Other people's sins hit you up. You ever get stolen from? You have relationships where they spit in your face? You ever bleed in your emotions? You ever hurt so bad that you just cry? And just on and on and on? I know people that go sit in the cemetery crying about their life. Now, tonight, let me talk about some of the causes. We're going to go into a lot of the cause issues and so forth. We're going to try to bring some definition between cognitive issues and then the dark side oppression that comes in tomorrow. And then we're going to focus heavily, and I want you to hear this, of an astounding hope, a power of deliverance that comes from Christ, but also the instruction that God gives to say, in the midst of bad circumstances, don't do what the world does. Don't follow that pattern. Don't move in that direction. It will only get worse. And give the enemy an opportunity. God has a way to lead you in a different direction, to make you stronger and stronger. And that the things in this life that do occur and will occur and the inevitable things that will occur will not destroy you. Jesus told a parable about how you build your, what you build your life on. If you build your life on the rock, on Him and the Word of God, the storms of life, the cognitive actual things that are going to happen to you and happen around you, they can come. The winds, the waves, the storms, all the stuff can come. But there you are standing on a rock that is immovable, on a indestructible hope in presence of a living Savior and a Word of God that you put into practice that has made you strong and making you immovable in this life, giving you joy in the midst of some of the worst. Now, there's those that build their life on sand. You can read the parable in the Gospels if you want. And when those same exact winds and waves and everything else comes, well, people that have nothing under them. Like my father. Nothing under him. I used to say back in the days, from the 70s on, when he seemed to have lost everything, it was like the rug was pulled out from underneath him, and he never stopped falling. He had nowhere to go. His alcohol didn't help him. Other relationships didn't help him. Angry and blaming everybody else didn't help him. Becoming so in his mind, and then in his motion, then in his body, then in his chemistry, and spiritually dead. And so all they gave him was drugs, and all they gave him was shock treatment, and all they gave him was all these other things. And he just got worse down the road. His life was ebbing away. I'll tell you some of the end of the story here. If I forget in any way, don't let me forget to tell you the great news at the end concerning my own father after 23 years. And then watching the life of my father and his... Well, it was a deterioration. He was deteriorating. It was bad. And many people are. There are those that sit in the house. There are those that... You know that all you've done is eat yourself into a corner, drink yourself into a corner, drug yourself into a corner, talk yourself into a corner. Spiritually weakened. Inside maybe there's anger. And you're starting to believe what the demons say. God's at fault. You're starting to believe with the devil there is no hope. And you're barely able to hear what God has to say. May God break that. Even beginning now, in the name of a Savior that conquered sin and death, hell itself and separation from God, comes to give life. The life that flows out of heaven and more abundantly. Well, I'm going to touch on the causes of depression. I'm going to put some things down here. And then I'm going to give you a story out of... George Mason University, the University of Life. They're calling it's their clinical look at things. And well, let me give you mine, and then I'll give you theirs. The causes of depression. Listen carefully. The causes. Maybe you can mark some of this down. Many people don't put this first one into any kind of context whatsoever. Life in a fallen world will bring you. Life in a fallen world system. I mean, here's the world we're living in, and some people think, is this the way God made it? Is this the way the world should be? Death, die, war, relationships, divorce, people die, shootings, crime, all kinds of things occur in life. Jobs, economic failures, bankruptcies, all the rest. You've got to begin with understanding we live in a fallen, broken world that was not meant. See, there is a thing that Edward Carnell, an apologist, years and years and years ago from Wheaton, he called it soul sorrow. He said soul sorrow is that that comes into our lives. And I would say this after, you know, 38 years of being on the field of ministry and in my own life. Everybody can experience soul sorrow. Here's how he defines it. We close our eyes and we dream the ideal. The ideal is good relationships, good families, good job, good food, good neighborhoods, good life. We dream good health. That's the ideal. Who doesn't want that? From the Sudan to Russia to the Ukraine to Syria, all around the world, you and I, we want that ideal. But then there's the real. Edward Carnell talks about the real. We open our eyes, we look at life. The things we lost, the people we lost, the relationships that we lost, the hurt feelings, the damage, the health issues, the money issues, the pressure, working all the jobs, getting up and doing it again and again and again and again, and never seems over. You know, helping the kids and doing the kids and doing the stuff and doing the stuff and being tired and going to bed tired, waking up tired, working tired and living tired and being mad all the time. So we look at the real, what's really going on, and then we close our eyes and we think about the ideal. Here's what Edward Carnell says. When you take the ideal of what we wish and the real of what's really here, and you have them run into each other in your head, he says it brings about a soul sorrow, a conundrum, a conflict, life in a fallen world. Let me mention a couple of things. The world, the Bible talks about the world, the cosmos, this fallen world system. 1 John is very good at defining this fallen world system where Satan has control and it's not what God meant it to be. And so the laws and the precepts and justice and life and health and wars and crime and all that kind of stuff is here in a fallen world. You and I live in a fragmented, broken world that was not the way God intended, but Satan and sin and the history of it has brought the destruction and more is to come. I mean, we look at prophecies and we think about life right now. We think about the war, all the stuff. I mean, what makes you happy? I don't think any of the stories I told, Chimera in Syria and the Sudan and the mudslide and you can go on and on and on with all the stories. Personal stories. It's a fallen, broken world that has been just, that's the thief. He's coming to kill, steal, and destroy. Let me give you another thing in this cause, the causes. Living in a fallen world and not understanding that it is, but the world itself being a system. Look at 1 John 5, controlled by the evil one. The God of this age, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Blinding the minds of unbelievers so they can't even see the hope of the world, Christ. So the world that we live in is infused with dark presence. That's the fact. Secular psychology and psychiatry and DSM-4s and 5s and the counsel of the world is not going to be the answer. You can check Psalms chapter 1 on that one. But the sin nature, that's our own sin. You ever get depressed over what you did? You ever do things in life that bit you in the back side? Have you done things that you regret? Do you think you're stuck there with all the choices? Some in jail, you spent time in jail, you did things, your relationships broke, blame comes to you, self-blame, all the rest, and then Satan brings the condemnation, and then your head's twirling about all the things you did wrong, and all the things Satan's trying to lie to you, you don't even know it's him, and all of a sudden your mind is negative and angry and bitter and guilt-filled and everything else, and then your emotions are the same, and then your body is slugging around, and then your chemical system is degrading, and then you are depressed and oppressed. You see, in a fallen world that is not what it was meant to be, a world that has satanic control, a real dark presence in it that leads it in the wrong direction to kill, steal, and destroy, a sin nature in our own lives, you know, others have sinned against you. Others have done things to harm you, to hurt you, stab you in the back, cheat you. You know, we cry out, no justice. We cry out, you know, people are sitting there listening to me right now, and you've got revenge in your heart. You've got bitterness. You're mad at people. And you're trying to hold it down like a beach ball. like an angry, fiery beach ball under, you know, that water, and you don't have the strength to even hold it down any longer. A lot of depressed people can erupt in massive anger, just all seething like magma. Life circumstances. Let me give you some of the factors. The top six includes a lot of things, though. Number one, relationships. When a loved one dies, that's like top of the scale that brings about depression. Divorce, top of the scale, basically. Separations and bad relationships are a major, major cause of depression, cognitive depression in life. How about jobs and finance and economics and homes and paying the bills and being behind and having the people call you? Has anybody ever been happy when a financial collector calls you or the mortgage company sends you a thing telling you that you're going to lose the home or the car engine explodes and you got $1,500 worth of work and you got to get to work by that car and you don't have the money and your credit cards are maxed because you misused them? Jobs, finances, and economics, and even our choices can sometimes bury us in depression. Health issues. No question about it. Things with health and not having good health and sometimes depression over a long period of time, wrong responses, letting it sit on you, letting it eat away for years can bring about catabolic responses. Your body can actually be affected. Your chemical system affected. And again, the world can give you some pills, some chill pills or whatever else, and everybody knows it sustains some things. But if you don't know how to find hope, if you don't know how to respond better, if you don't get a new pattern going in your life. See, some people have patterns. Cognitive life circumstances hit, and you either run to the food, you run to the drugs, you run to the alcohol, you run to the anger, you run to the bitterness, you run to the sexual relationships, you run to the bed and sleep longer. And so if that's how you responded again and again and again and again and again and again, and you get sick and tired of responding to those areas and realizing that, you know, the alcohol and the drugs and the sex, illicit sex, and, you know, it really never helped you. Like the drugs that are not the final answers, right? How about moving at times? How about losses of car and home and, you know, many other things in life? Some people are so depressed prone that losing their keys can set them off for the entire day. It's because your character has been so struck by the circumstances to where if you could sit back and say, my whole life has been this way. This is what's happened to me. These relationships, these jobs, these economics, this health, these things that happen on and on and on and on and on and on. That's what you think. That's how you feel. That's how your body's affected. That's how your chemistry's affected. And then spiritually, how do you then look to God for hope? How do you look to God in prayer? You got depressed, oppressed believers. You know what they do? They're like mad at God, like Satan tried to get Job to be mad. Listen, tonight we're doing just the overview. Tonight I know that we're going to kind of like open the lid to some of the stuff. But that's good because all I want to do is pour God's hope down into the depths of you. God's hope is brilliant. It's good. It's a future. Can I give you a word of scripture? Can I mention to you some of the things that I've read? Astounding. 1 Thessalonians 2. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when He comes? Philippians 2:23. I hope, Paul says. Acts 24:15, and I have the same hope in God. I mean, I want to read to you 2 Timothy 1:1. The Apostle Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope. 1 Corinthians 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. right? In the book of Lamentations, which is his Jeremiah, the weeping prophet's lamenting, you know, just weeping and crying over the destruction because of the judgment. 20 years they were preached to and told, you know, don't go that direction. Don't follow those. Don't go that way. Don't follow the world. Don't follow the flesh. Don't follow the devil. And they did. Judgment came. Lamentations 3. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may yet be hope. For there may be hope at last. You ever read chapter 3 in Lamentations? You ever read Job? Where then is my hope? Who can see any hope for me? Where then is my hope? Can I give you a word out of Proverbs 23? There is surely a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Can I read you Proverbs 24? Know also that wisdom is like honey for you. If you find it, there is a future hope for you, and your hope will not be cut off. Can I read you Jeremiah 31? There's a hope and a future, says the Lord. Your future is filled with hope, declares the Lord. When I think in terms of the years and years and years of lives and people in ministry, when I think in terms of those funerals I've done where people did not turn to, I mean, they were absolutely hopeless, depressed, and maybe oppressed, and they committed suicide. A 19-year-old I did a funeral for and had to tell the rest of the kids concerning why Jimmy did it. The cheerleader that committed suicide. The people that I've seen in the psych, you know, I tell people I've been to the psych ward, I don't know, maybe a couple hundred times in 35 years or more, visiting people depressed and suicidal and empty and hopeless and everything else. And I've got a message to tell you that there is a hope that comes from the hand of God, a life that comes from the hand of God, an instruction that comes, a deliverance that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nobody that has greater hope. There is no greater hope than Him. There's a way to change the pattern. If the pattern is, you know, you responding the way the world, the flesh, and the devil want you to respond, then you will get worse. The pattern will keep taking you to where it's worse. And then when you try to get the drugs of the world or the response of the world, that doesn't work. And so you come out of it for a while, and then another bad thing occurs and another cognitive life circumstance. Then you go back to the same pattern. You repeat the pattern over and over and over again, prone to depression because that's the only tracks you've been riding on. Well, I got some tracks to lay out to you. The tracks are the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God that leads to the heart and the face and the might of the God of indestructible hope and optimism that is assured, and a Savior that is there where you are right now. So with the 7 minutes in this this is the intro, please. 45 minutes to do this is not enough, but I hope that God will speak to you. Third point, engaging depression. Okay, before I touch on it, I want to read to you what this university puts out. Quote, depression is a disturbance in mood, thought, and body characterized by varying degrees of sadness, disappointment, loneliness, hopelessness, self-doubt, and guilt. Most people tend to feel depressed at one time or another. Some people may experience these feelings more frequently with the deeper, more lasting effects. In some cases, depression can last for months or even years. The least intense type of depression, feeling blue or being in a bad mood, is usually brief in duration and has minimal or slight effect on normal everyday activities. With moderate depression, symptoms are more intense and last longer over a longer period of time. Daily activities are more difficult, but the individual is still able to carry out these activities. In severe depression, there may be extreme fluctuations in moods or even a complete withdrawal from daily routine. From the outside world, feelings of hopelessness become so intense that thoughts of death may occur and suicide may be or seem like the only viable option. Now, that's coming from a pamphlet I'm reading from the Counseling and Psychological Services, George Mason University. Here's what they say some of the causes or the symptoms of depression: crying spells, Or the other extreme, lack of emotional response, just going stoic. Inability to find pleasure in anything. How about feelings of hopelessness, worthlessness, and or helplessness? Exaggerated sense of guilt, self-blame, or failure. Loss of sexual desire. Loss of warm feelings towards family or friends. Pessimism about self, the world, and the future. Changes in behavior with those who are deeply depressed, lack of interest in prior activities, withdrawal from others, neglect of responsibilities and appearance, irritability, complaints about matters previously taken in stride, dissatisfaction about life in general, impaired memory, inability to concentrate, indecisiveness and confusion, reduced ability to cope with daily stuff. Well, they're describing it, and you're probably sitting back, some of you anyway, saying, that's me, that's me, that's me. Well, let me say my point tonight. Engaging depression, number one, the reality of it. It's here, the fallen world. The fallen world infused with the dark side that brings a killing, a stealing, a destroying, and a dark work. A confusing, it's a confusing world. And then the issue of the sin nature, not knowing God, not knowing who we are, where we came from, not knowing the value and the worth of life and morality issues. And even when we don't know and when we're confused and we choose the wrong thing, thinking that we're going to feel good because we're going to choose the wrong thing, and it doesn't. Illicit sexual things and food patterns and eating and alcohol, it brings more destruction. Let me tell you this, tonight at least. You have the right to cry. You have the right to cry. You have the right to sit before God and cry. You have the right, like the psalm writers, and I'm going to beg you in Christ. As I've done this years ago in the midst of many other things in life. I know what it is to bleed. I know what it is to feel oppression and depression separately and together. But I also know reading the Psalms and pouring into it and looking how the writer was able to speak to God and share his complaints and share his heart. You know what the writer said one time? That he was so filled with grief that he staggered like a drunk man. You have the right to cry. The Psalms will show you that you can bring the blood and the guts and the pain of your life to God. He's going to hear you. If you'll listen to God, if you'll scour the Psalms, if you'll look to Him, He's got an answer. In 150 Psalms, when writers would come with depression and oppression and bad things and grief and crying out, and every time, every single time, they would make God their refuge. They would put trust in God. They would call on God. He delivered them. He had an answer. He had an instruction. He stepped in. God does love you. You have a right to look at all the reality. You have a right to cry. You have a right to choose. You have a right to look at the hope of all hope, Jesus Christ. A salvation that brings forgiveness and new life. And the power to live a new way. Healing and deliverance and instruction and personal help from God. The promises of God. The ultimate outcome that can happen now, let alone eternity. Well, that's all found in Christ. And in this introduction about depression and oppression, I ask because of the astounding hope inside me by Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that I think God increases that along as we're following His steps, putting His Word into practice, becoming stronger, God filling us with a joy and a hope. And a peace. You turn to the living Christ if you don't know Him. That's where it all begins, the hope of the world and an answer from the hand of God. I'll be back tomorrow to give you more of this. Good night. Russ Dizdar, The Ragged Edge Radio.